Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, baseball isn't boring. Live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. It's been a great show so far. Gordo, Play Tessie. Play Tessie, the official Red Sox podcast for WEI. When's Play Tessie night at Fenway Park?
Oh, it's in the works.
It's every night.
Oh, that's the right answer.
It's every night.
It is every night.
Yeah.
Well, it's every night that they win.
Oh, really?
Because they play Tessie when they win.
Oh, that's true. That's fair.
Yeah, every home game that they win is a Play Tessie.
You know, they should show you and Sammy and Pat and Joe and Joe Schmo up on the Jumbotron every time they win.
Right. As soon as the song starts, because you play Dirty Water, but then as soon as Tessie starts, our mug's on the face.
I just think, and maybe I have some skin in the game on this. Maybe. I'm Rob Bradford. This is Baseball's Importing Show. But I think they've underutilized the Derek White celebration in their video montages.
Well, here's the thing, Rob. You know the ads that they play on Nesson? About, like, they've been playing the one with the Raffy walk-off double against, I think it was Seattle. They've been playing the ads there. That the Derek White reaction should be an ad. Because it was also a walk-off. The Jaren Duran walk-off, and then it pans to Derek White. Like, that should be an ad playing on Nesson all the time.
Yes. I don't know why they don't do it. Like, what is happening?
That should have been like...
Anyway, listen, we can only do our part, which is what we're doing today, Gordo. We can only do our part. And this is the Baseball's and Boring Show. We're going to be live. I mean, this isn't taped, obviously. But we're going to be with you all the way up until the pregame show, which is hosted by John Lyons. And that leads into Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione on the call. Big game. Zach Gallen. Cutter Crawford. We've talked a little bit at the outset of this, the state of the Red Sox. So far, we had a great show. We've talked about best player in baseball. I'm right, you're wrong. I said Bobby Witt Jr. You said Shohei Ohtani. We had Rich Hill, the only place you could hear Rich Hill tell the what happened last night in Norfolk, how he felt. That's going to be on the Baseball in a Boring feed very, very soon. We'll also tweet it out from all the socials. We talked about that. We're also talking about the Red Sox and their lot in life. We love a good lot in life talk, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is, we proclaim this to be every day now for the rest of the year. It's fork in the road, fill in the blank.
Picture it on a map, just the amount of forks in the road that there are going to be from here on.
Well, I do feel somewhat vindicated.
Yeah.
That leading the trade deadline, about a month before the trade deadline, I said they're going to buy, they're already down that fork in the road. They got the pickup truck with the Baseball's and Boring sticker on the back, with the dust fly in the back. They were already going down the buyer. And they were. They bought. Did they buy the right things? I don't know. But they bought at the deadline. So now we're sitting here, and every day is fork in the road. And here's the reason why. Because, and we talked about the biggest out of the season, the Bernardino versus Jordan Alvarez. That was Wednesday. It was the third game. But if they lose games, if they get swept, like any of these series, and all it takes is Minnesota and Kansas City to win their series, all of a sudden you're staring at it. Just when it got to 4.5, it felt really, really uncomfortable. There's something about the number five.
Yes, it's the number five.
And it's not only because Brady Anderson wore it as a member of the Boston Red Sox. I know most people think Nick Punto. And then some people might think Nomar Garcia, who knows? But
Johnny Gomes.
I defer to Brady Anderson. You didn't even know that?
I didn't even know he played for the Red Sox, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yep.
Brady Anderson.
I wore number five in college because I liked the way Brady Anderson played for the Red Sox.
Really?
Yeah. So there you go. The five in the standings feels awkward.
With this amount of time left.
It's
not even just awkward. You just think about what has to happen for you to finish five games better than a team. They have the tiebreaker over the Royals, but the Twins one hasn't been decided yet because they play later. So it's like, especially if you're thinking about the Twins, it's like, is it five? Or if you're at five, it could be six if you don't end up getting that tiebreaker.
Okay.
So it's just that it's a huge uphill climb. If they'd lost those two games, right now they'd be 5.5 back of the Twins and they'd be 6.5 back of the Royals. Like you're not dead, but like,
all right,
you're right.
Let me ask you this. This was asked of Craig Breslow, I believe, on the Greg Hill Show. You know, what is considered a successful season? Now, I think that a lot of people might say if you go back to spring training when you have all the injuries and you get to this point on August 24th and you're a week away from not only your wedding, Gordo, but also September. So you are... If you get to that point and you were actually still having conversations that didn't have the two words Drake and May in it, that you were like, okay, yay, that's, thank you for that. But is it? Like at this point, is it a successful season? How should we look at this?
Well, that's the interesting question is, can you ever truly have a successful season where you don't make the playoffs? Can success be defined as outperforming expectations, or is it always based off of what you do at the end?
Okay. So with that said, how do you feel about it? And you can weigh in 617-779-7937. And you can also tell me why I'm right about Bobby Witt Jr. Or
why Gordo
or what or
if he's pitching.
Or if he's pitching. What Gordo should do at his wedding.
Because Reese Witherspoon was the
Or talk to us about Reese Witherspoon.
Yep. So how do you view it?
I'm of the mindset that you can't end a season and talk about success if you didn't make the playoffs, because it's two separate conversations. It's, were they better than I expected them to be?
What if they get bumped the last day of the season?
I don't think you can call the season a success unless you make the playoffs. It doesn't mean that I don't think that they exceeded my expectations, but I think you can exceed expectations and then still be disappointed in the result of the season.
I agree. And here's my reasoning. I agree that it's all in context of what baseball is now and where you've put yourself. So this is it. Congratulations, Boston Red Sox. I know that everybody out there, all the executives, I know they have the Baseball Isn't Boring show on the speakers, in the elevators, in the bathrooms, in the offices.
I always think about that.
Congratulations. Oh, yeah. Like, we're big in the bathroom.
Like, anytime.
We're huge.
Yeah.
Urinals dominate.
Oh, yeah. That market is
awesome. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm not going to say we have baseballs and boring urinal cakes, but we might have baseballs and boring urinal cakes. So you've reached this point. You put together a team. A lot of people thought that it wasn't going to be function the way they have, but you have. You've landed here. So the way baseball is that you have become one of the 14 teams. Yeah, I counted again. 14 teams who can stake claim to actually having a chance to win the World Series. That's where you've landed. So if you've landed here at this time of the year and you don't take advantage of that, then yeah, it's a failed season. That's the way I look at it.
That's another good way to put it. It's like there's two ways to have the discussion. It's that, because they have this opportunity that's right in front of them right now, and all they have to do, they basically are one big rip of wins away from being a playoff team. And as we've seen, and you can look at the scope of the American League, anyone who gets into the playoffs in the American League has a chance to be in the World Series. That is a fact. There is no team in the AL that even comes close to looking like they could walk to the World Series. But at the same time, you look at what people's expectations were for the Red Sox going into the season. Everyone thought they were certain sellers when they traded for Tyler O'Neill.
It doesn't matter what. You know what else we thought? We thought Jordan Montgomery, or not me, a lot of people thought Jordan Montgomery, Jordan Montgomery would be like the be-all, end-all. Either you have a successful season off season by signing Jordan Montgomery, or you don't. That was the perception of many. That's why when you say, well, look it back at here, listen, no, it doesn't matter. We're living in a different reality now. And so the reality that we're living in is much like 2011. Hold your breath, earmuffs, whatever. 2011, yeah. If you landed on August 24th in 2011, you'd be like, this is the most successful season of all time. Everyone was feeling great. They were getting headphones from John Henry. It was awesome. So you don't know, have no idea what I'm talking about.
Did he give everyone headphones?
He gave everyone headphones for some rain out. They were all complaining about like a rain out. And so it's like, in order to make everyone feel good.
Oh, that'll make you feel
all everyone got free headphones.
That was
the beginning of then. That and the waiver trade deadline pickup of Connor Jackson. Poor Connor Jackson.
I remember Connor Jackson. Yeah. That's a name I had.
Yeah, oh, yeah. His dad was an actor on Jag. My knowledge keeps coming. Anyway, so 2011, I told you, you don't even know what a cummerbund was.
No.
Did you look it? Did you Google it?
No, I didn't.
Hey, everybody, Gordo is getting married a week from Monday, and and to this point, I don't think you should be allowed like a wedding certificate if you don't know what a cummerbund is.
And so, like, that's when you go to register for that, they give you like a sheet. You have to fill out the sheet. Are you saying that should be like a trivia question at the bottom of the sheet?
If you don't get it right, what this is.
They send you home. You got to come back at least.
It's like getting your learner's permit when you're driving.
they give you that online.
When the blind person is crossing the road, do you speed up or do you slow down?
You speed up.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So the point is, in 2011, at this point, yeah, successful. No. It's about like the here and the now.
End of August in 2011. Oof.
Yeah. Great. I'm pretty sure if you went to 2011, August 24th, 2011, and you said, will this be a successful season if they don't make the playoffs? I think the answer would probably be like, what are you talking about? First of all, what are you talking about?
How are they not making the playoffs?
In the break, I'm going to look this up.
We got to see how many. Is it double digits?
Yeah. So my overall point is that what the answer, and I think Breslow, I forget his exact answer, but it was pretty good. It was along the lines of what we're talking about. Like, their goal is to win the World Series. You fall short of your goal, obviously you're disappointed. You don't feel like it's a successful season. But still, in the context of what is going to be perceived by the masses as a successful season at this point, it is absolutely to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's so cut and dry to me. It's like, that is the next step that this team needs to take. And
because Gordo, I think the problem is that this year, if you don't make the playoffs, if you don't take advantage of this opportunity, you are left with what might be. So when a team like Kansas City or a team like Minnesota or any of these other teams, or a team like Arizona or San Diego or the Mets or anybody are in the playoffs and they go on the type of run like the 84-win Diamondbacks did last year, you're like, man, that could have been us. That could have been us. That's what you're going to be left with, that regret, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could, if they miss the playoffs, you'll be thinking, especially like, there's two ways to think about it. If they miss by like three games,
I choose to look at it one way.
You could think about it of like with the close games that they lost. Like, you can look at that last game of the Rangers series that they coughed up, or even the first game of the Astros series. Or you could look at stuff that they didn't do in the offseason. There's two ways to, and that, like, that's going to be the vision. If they miss the playoffs, it'll probably be by just a few games, and you'll look at those things, and that's what's going to make it hard to look at it like a successful season, even though they outperformed the expectations. vacation.
Yeah, no regrets. No R-A-G-R-E-T-S. No regrets.
Agrets.
There you go. All right, we have no regrets. Every time we do a trend, that's exactly what we're going to do with Jake Brady.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
No.
Absolutely zero.
All right, this is a baseball. This is a Baseball Isn't Boring show. Cut myself off. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. We've been talking about a whole bunch of stuff. And good news, Gordo of Play Tessie podcast, Rich Hill conversation is up on the Baseball Isn't Boring feed.
That was
at BB Isn't Boring. That was fast and fascinating. Both.
Oh.
Both. In case you missed it, we had Rich Hill on. The only place you can hear exactly what happened from the pitcher's point of view about that aforementioned pitcher performance in Norfolk, home of aircraft carriers and, I don't know, something else. What else? The Tides.
Yeah.
The minor league baseball. Yay for minor league baseball.
Yes. Yeah. The Tides have it. They have the life out
there. Are you, your honeymoon, what minor league baseball, what? I just saw it. Guy go by on a, we're in the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. I saw a bear go by on a motorcycle.
Oh, I saw a bear here.
I would say this. Park. Not a bad move. Because if I was riding that scooter in Colorado from Coors Field to the hotel wearing a bear outfit.
Oh, you'd have been in much better shape.
I would be in much better shape.
Yeah. That
I would not have a mangled face or wrists that don't work.
That's the thing is like normal bike helmets, they protect the head, but they don't protect the face. The bear hat.
The bear hat protects everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we're on to something.
Yeah.
We solved a lot of the world's problems.
You're going to see people going to and from work on those scooters, but all of them are just going to be in bear costumes.
Okay.
That's like safety.
Nice people. These nice people out in Lansdowne Street. We're at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. I already said that. But these people are awesome. These people are awesome, right? All you're missing, people. You're missing. These are nice shirts. Awesome shirts. Excellent. They say Red Sox. I can read. And that's a Red Sox logo.
They say Red Sox twice.
They say Red Sox a few different times. Go and get. If you come next time, if you get a Baseballs and Boring shirt and you wear it, then I will give you a prize.
Well, there you go.
There you go. What's the prize? I don't know.
Another Baseballs and Boring.
Baseballs are boring. You probably get on TV. That's science.
Yeah. I mean, it's been proven.
When's Baseballs and Boring night?
It's coming. It might have to be like a unsanctioned baseballs and boring night. I have we a little behind the scenes. We efforted to do this. We had some false maybe hope. There has been some proclamations that maybe they need more of a lead-in time, which, you know, that's debatable. But no, that said, there's every number one, every night's baseballs and boring night, right?
Oh yeah.
Number two, let's just have a pop-up baseballs and boring night where we're shoving wasabi down people's throats and throwing
everyone's
around
t-shirts, wasabi challenge. Have gallons of wasabi.
And Derek White, you know, hey, Red Sox, you might not want to put him up on the Jumbotron. You might not want to celebrate his maybe the momentous moment of the year. Derek White is urging a comeback and Roman Gonzalez gets the big hit that turns the season around. You might not want to do that, but we're going to have Derek White on the platform out on one of these streets, maybe out here on Lansdowne Street. We'll put a box in the middle of the street. There's Derek White in a baseballs and boring shirt. Everybody celebrate him. There's baseballs and boring night. Let it be said. Let it be done.
Derek White's resume. NBA champion. Olympic.
Oh, what a year for Derek White.
Baseball isn't boring.
How would he rank this? NBA championship. Olympic champion. Baseballs and boring icon.
Well, I would say definitely baseball isn't boring icon first. I'll go NBA champion second and Olympic gold medal.
Well, the other are team events. What he did was an individual event.
Right, and that's and it also was for baseball isn't boring. So the fact that it's individual, you can't take it away from him as saying he was riding Jason Tatum's back or riding LeBron's and Curry's back for the – can't say any of that.
No.
This is Derek White. Or maybe he was riding Rob Bradford's
back. No. I just put him in position to succeed. That was it. I gave him the shirt. He took the shirt. He held it up. People do different things with it. Noah Kahn, he kept it. He didn't put it on. He kept it. You wear it whatever you want. You want to wear it to bed? Fine. Alex Cooper, she didn't keep it. She gave it back. She's nice enough to take a photo. That's her prerogative. She didn't keep it.
Matt Damon kept it.
Matt Damon, big smile on his face.
Oh, yeah. Love the shirt.
He kept it. Derek White, he took it upon himself. He wore it. He put it on. And he said, you know what? I'm at this Red Sox game. I'm in this box. I'm celebrating with my Celtics teammates. I love the great game of baseball. I'm not going to pretend not to wear this shirt. I'm going to wear it.
Got to embrace it. There, will the team to victory with it.
There he did it. And sure enough, what happens? One of the biggest moments of the season, they put him up on the Jumbotron, wearing the baseballs and boring shirt. There.
Honestly, Rob, it might be on us that we didn't get him here for this weekend. This weekend would have been the weekend that we needed Derek White. I don't know. If they don't win these next two games.
How are they not leaning in more to Derek White? I know he's been busy.
Is it on us?
No, it's not on us. I'm doing everything I can. You have to lean more on Derek White. This is the key to the season. It's much like you have a symbol for every team, every run in September. In 2013, it was the Beards, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then this year, it's going to be...
It's going to be Derek White.
Everyone shaves their head.
Ooh,
look like Derek
White. We should
have
a Derek White look-alike contest. Let's go. Come on. All right. The ideas are popping here. I like it.
Anything to get this team to the playoffs.
Okay. Yes or no? They get to the playoffs.
Yes.
That was the weakest. Producer Jacob saying McFarlane.
Hold on a second. Oh,
Jacob, yell McFarlane.
McFarlane, was that bad?
Gordo, are the Red Sox going to make the playoffs?
I'm still giving you the hesitation. Yet.
See, this is
it's meant to not
Jacob,
be the most resounding
Jacob,
yes of
Jacob,
all time.
You win. You are more convicted in what you just said, and Gordo was not convicted in what he said.
I'm not trying to be convicted though. I think I lean towards they get in, not just because of the schedules. I still just feel like there's something there with this team. I just get so nervous about the pitching. Like, I just get nervous.
What would make you feel better?
It's not even the 3.5. It's the pitching.
What would make you feel better? And this is the tantalizing thing about this is that You went through this gauntlet with the Red Sox, right? You had the Orioles, you had Houston, you had Arizona. You knew this was coming. You knew August was coming. You knew we saw it the excellent web social media account Brooksgate had, I think, immediately, like second half, toughest schedule in all of baseball. Red Sox number one.
Number one.
We all knew, and a big chunk of that was what they had to go through August. And while, yes, they have not tore it up, they have survived. You split with the Orioles. You took two or three of the Astros. You're right there. You're almost through. You're almost through to Arizona, yet you lose that first game. Now you're pressed with the daunting task of winning these last two games. And if you don't do it, you could be in real trouble. But that's why today and tomorrow are so important. You're almost there. What do you got?
I'm looking at the schedule if you want to hear what's coming up after this.
Okay.
So after these two games with Arizona, you've got five with the last place Blue Jays. Then you got three at Detroit, three at the Mets, three at home against the White Sox.
Oh.
That's your stretch.
That's your stretch.
And like then yes, you have the Orioles and the Yankees, but then it's back to the Rays. And then you've got the Twins, which could be with about a week and a half left in the season, you play the Twins at home. That could be an enormous series,
but,
playoff type series.
Right, but you got to get there. You cannot, like I said before,
you have to
the number five, Sesame Street taught me this years ago. Number five is the worst number.
Who said that?
I don't know. The Count?
Ernie? Oh, no, the Count.
Yeah.
What did he, there was a number that he really let, seven?
Yeah, but not number five.
Yeah, no.
If you get five,
is scary.
The it's in the standings.
Really scary.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, standings wise, it's really scary.
Oh yeah, look at. I'm going to look at. Let's see. I'll give you an example, right? So teams are five out in the wild card right now. You tell me if you think they have a chance. The San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, it's like they've seen dead for like a month and a half.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Dead.
The Chicago Cubs 5.5.
Yeah, they've been dead.
Right. So, and then you have, let's see, the Mariners 6.5 back.
Wow.
Seven!
Exactly.
The Mariners are 4.5 back of the division, and they just fired their manager.
Yeah, and they're going to go and run and win the division.
They honestly might. I will never not believe in the Mariners just because I'm so obsessed with that rotation.
I saw, speaking of the Mariners, here's another great topic, right? I saw the comparison, and I wish I could pull this. You probably know because you're always on the socials. Comparing Julio Rodriguez and Jarren Duran. Did you see this graphic?
I did. Was it their careers?
Yes.
Their entire careers?
Their entire
careers.
Jarren
had them in a lot
point.
Of stuff.
Yes. Who are you taking right now? Who are you taking right now, Gordo?
To finish off the season?
No.
Or to moving forward for good?
No. I'm proposing, this is my Vlad Guerrero, who do you got, Vlad Guerrero, Rafi Devers conversation, which is, they're still talking about in Canada. All right? If you said, I am trading this guy for this guy, and I know that Julio Rodriguez is younger, I'm taking contracts out of the equation. Actually, their contracts probably line up.
Well, Julio got extended.
Oh, that's true. The contracts don't line up.
That's it. And it's such a confusing one, too, because it's like if he's good, he gets paid a ton, and if he's not good, he doesn't get
anyway,
paid.
Anyway, take the contracts out. I'm talking about the player. What player would you rather have?
I mean, moving forward from our organization, it's Julio just because of the age. Like, I also think he's going to be so much better than he is this
year. What player?
If you're talking the next
5 years, what player would you rather have? Julio Rodriguez or Jarren Duran?
Oh, that one's really tough.
Okay.
Five years is the board. Because if you said three, it's Jarren Duran. Five, I might go Julio. Because he's going to be crazy. He already has been crazy.
I had proclaimed this up until, I mean, maybe I can still proclaim it. I had said the old conversation, which started really when Theo Epstein won the Hustle of Cool Music event in 2005 on his hiatus, and he was asked by the crowd what player would you start a team with, and he said Felix Hernandez way back when, which is a great answer.
Yeah,
but I think it's a great conversation and a great topic of debate. And I had been saying for the last few years Julio Rodriguez, and a lot of people were like Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna Jr., and I sort of dug in on Julio Rodriguez.
Your answer today is now Bobby Witt.
Yeah, I think it's Bobby Witt.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the other thing about Bobby Witt Jr. This, you know, not Bobby Witt Sr., but Bobby Witt Jr., 24 years old.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Julio is 23, doesn't turn 24 till December.
Yeah, okay. So what would your answer
be? For 5 years, I'm sticking with Julio.
Okay.
I'm getting his age 24, 5, 6, 7. And
even though the numbers, as we just said, and I'm
Jaren Durant's significantly better. This year at least. Overall better too.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the
I don't know who posted it.
Yeah, was it Codify? I don't know. Anyway, so it's a great
I think I can find
that's it. How good Jaren Durant has been. That is how good Jaren Durant has been. And another thing, you know, in regards to Jaren Durant, we haven't really talked about, I think, so it was 2 weeks ago on Sunday he had his incident, right? Where he had the homophobic slur.
Right.
Then he gets suspended for it. Then he comes back. He came back last Thursday, I believe, right? Or Wednesday or Thursday. He comes back. He plays in two games. He came back Wednesday, played a game at home, played a game in Baltimore. Wasn't the same guy. And then Friday, all of a sudden, he's flying around doing his thing. And I talked to Alex Cora about this, and I thought it was a really interesting conversation with him. When Alex Cora talked about in a conversation he had with Durant, and this is another reason why when we talk about Cora, we had some callers calling up and say, oh, he signed his contract, he's not the same manager. Well, there's evidence that that's absolutely not the case. And this what I'm about to tell you, I think is part of that evidence, which is one of the strengths of Alex Cora is relating to his players, saying what that player needs to hear. And what Jaren Durant needed to hear is that from Alex Cora, talk about his own experience, not apples to apples, but his own experience going through public outcry, public scorn from obviously his suspension and after 2017 with the Astros, and Duran obviously going through what he just went through, but how you deal with this. Like a manager, Scott Servais can go up to Jaren Durant and say, hey, you know, don't worry about it. Alex Cora can go up to him and say, listen, I feel your pain. This is how I think you should handle it. Go sign the autographs. Go be yourself. Go out and play. And sometimes that just hits. And for me, that hit for Jaren Durant. I haven't talked to him about it, but all I know is that from the player I saw the first two games he was back to the player on last Friday and the player since, different player.
Not even close.
And also, not that this means anything, but I haven't seen anybody sign. I'm not keeping score, but every time I look, the guy's signing autographs. Like every time. And I'm not saying that to say, oh, look, Jaren Durant signs a lot of autographs. I'm saying it because that shows you Jaren Durant isn't afraid to sign autographs. And that's not hyperbole. That was a very real thing. And that's something that someone in that – it was inexcusable what he did. But I'm just painting the picture of, like, when he came back of what the whole thing was, you know?
So you're saying that – he could be afraid to sign autographs because he's afraid of what fans.
I think there was a hesitancy of you don't know how people are going to act. And as Alex Cora said, listen, this isn't over. This isn't over. I'm sure we had a guy in the press box, the Orioles. I think I might have said this to you on the show last week, which is we could hear the fans are right below us, and the guy yells something about the tennis racket, right? And that's going to be like. That's in Baltimore. He's going to New York with the Yankees in the middle of September.
Yeah, you're going to hear it.
There's no way around it.
And it's something that will stick with him for a little while, and that's just the price he has.
But my point is that this is one of the strengths. And listen, I mean, it's not like every manager can relate because of what they went through, but. It wasn't for Alex Cora to be able to relate, to be able to pass that message, to be able to talk to Jaren Durant. And I think that Jaren Durant really, like even before that, he always, the way that Alex Cora handled Jaren Durant, even before this thing, I think was underrated. It's a tricky thing, man. Like
kind of like a father-son like relationship right there. It's like, Cora, for whatever reason with Jaren, it's just you see the connection. I always think back to the video when he told Jaren that he was going to the All-Star game and how special that message coming from him specifically felt.
Well, we had a couple callers who said, oh, Alex Cora isn't managing the same way. They shouldn't have signed him, blah, blah, blah. But one of the biggest things when you look at a manager is, are you getting the most in whatever way you can, are you getting the most out of players? And you aren't always able to get the most out of players. But are you, for instance, I have the image of Cora with Brian Bello. When Bello was told he was going to skip a start, and he was legit sad. He's an emotional kid. Goes out to the outfield, and there's an image of Cora and Bayo out in the outfield talking. Now, two things. Number one, it's important for him to do that. Number two, to be bilingual to do it is important too. That's an enormous, enormous part of the equation. And I know we're saying, hey, you know, like Alex Cora is the best ever, and we're singing his praises up and down. All I'm saying is that, like, we have to, when these things arise, we have to surface them, much like we surface, what are you doing bringing in that reliever or pinch hitting that guy? But we have to also identify these things too, right?
And yeah, and you go back to those two moments that you brought up. You brought up Jaren Duran's response to this incident and Brian Bayo's response to being upset with his start skipped. Bayo's 9 starts after that start got skipped were, that was his best stretch of the season by far. It was his best stretch since the beginning of last.
And I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think that that's a coincidence. I think sometimes you forget how young and impressionable and I don't want to say insecure, but insecure these players are, especially when they're trying to find their way in the major leagues.
Well, it's stressful. This is their livelihood.
I'm stressed. Right? I'm like, every time I walk in here, I'm stressed. But you always calm me down. I appreciate it, Gordo.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, the Red Sox and WEI is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150 official truck of the Red Sox. We are at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. People are being let into Fenway Park. What a beautiful day it is here at Fenway. We've had some great baseball conversation. We got one more segment coming up before John Lyons takes over. Takes over for the pregame show, and that leads into Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'll be back right after this.
You couldn't do it if you're a hitter.
No.
Too much time needed.
Yeah.
No, you could do it as a pitcher.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't take.
Why?
It doesn't hit.
There's a little bit of a buildup there.
Hit. Anyway, I'm Rob Bradford. That's Gordo Playtassi. It's Rob Bradford of Baseball Isn't Boring. At BB Isn't Boring. The Rich Hill conversation we had at 1 o'clock. The only place you can find what exactly happened in Norfolk, Virginia last night. I gotta also Google what else happened in Norfolk, Virginia last night.
What happened?
I mean, I think that if we're gonna look at the power rankings of things that happened in Norfolk, Virginia last night,
Rich Hill's
2 innings are number 1, right?
Some aircraft carriers.
What about Christian Campbell's 2?
Jacob, can you look? Can you Google that? Can you figure out what happened in Norfolk, Virginia last night?
Google those words exactly.
That was more important than Rich Hill throwing 2 innings.
Johan Ramirez did not pitch confirmed.
Please
report back. All right. We're on for a few more minutes, all the way up until about 3:03. Then John Lyons going to take over the pregame show. As we said, that Rich Hill conversation is up now on the Baseball Isn't Boring feed. I'll tweet it out at Bradfo and at BB Isn't Boring. Well, we have tracked down the very poignant and controversial stat head graphic, and Jordan Leandre comes from his social media account. What is it, at Jordan Leandre?
At Jordan Leandre 55.
Okay, gives Jordan some credit here. So what we have is, this is the careers of Julio Rodriguez and Jaren Duran. And this is, you said a very poignant, I used poignant twice, but a very important statement in the break about how Jaren Duran is perceived. Do declare.
So Jaren Duran, and we talk about him, we just talked about it a little bit before with all the left-handed hitters the Red Sox have, all of the outfielders the Red Sox have, and Jaren Duran is kind of grouped in with that bunch, even though this year he's been based on WAR, he's a top 5 player in baseball. People don't talk about him, though, like he's that. People talk about him like he's having a really good season. They don't talk about him like he's an elite player. And I wonder how much of that, because he was a top prospect by the time he came up, he was a top 50-ish prospect. I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that it took him a little bit of time to get to this point, even though the potential was always there. And I wonder if a guy like Roman Anthony came up and did what Jaren Duran is doing right now, and he did that right away. If Roman Anthony did that in year one or two.
The problem is that almost nobody does it right away. Like, this is the Jackson Holliday, you know.
But like, let's say year two.
But it's amazing. What's amazing is like how people devalue players after short bouts of failure.
It's literally hurting Jaren Duran's image. Is that the right
word? Well, he had to recoup the excitement that, like, when Jaren Duran got called up,
it was
oh my goodness, look at how this guy goes from first to third, third to home, and whatever, like, it's flying around the field and all of it.
Deal.
And then all of a sudden, you have some misplays, you have some really bad misplays, some back and forth with the fans, some bad ruts offensively, all of it.
Multiple years of it, too.
And it's like, oh, well, you know, should we trade Jaren Duran in the offseason?
Like, dump him? Like, that was the discussion.
Yeah,
like,
and so is what happens, though. Even with Jackson Holliday, has his rough patch out of the gate. And Gordo, people were like, oh, you know, why, you can put him in that trade with four other players for Tarek Skubal. Like you probably did. You probably said that.
I did have him in a trade for Tarek Skubal, actually. I had him and Kerstad.
Right. Like, right. But now, oh my goodness, he's a good player again, because this is how it works. You fail, and then usually you figure it out. All right. So the aforementioned graphic, this was pretty telling. So it compares Julio Rodriguez and Jaren Duran to date as Major League Baseball.
Their entire careers.
So it's in terms of games played, very close. So should I just go through this? You want to go? I'll just go through it.
Yeah, start with the games and then run through everything.
All right, the games are close.
Played appearances.
So Julio Rodriguez, let's just say that it's close, like 264 to 226 games, 1,165 plate appearances to 941 plate.
In favor of Julio. Julio's played more.
Okay, a little bit more. Just a little bit more. So Jaren Duran's WAR, 9.6. Julio Rodriguez, 7.4. Oh, stop right there.
Stop right there in fewer games.
War is everything. So,
well, war is also like it's accumulated over time. So the fact that Jaren has that much higher in.
So here are the categories Julio Rodriguez is better at. Hits, 289 to 252. Home runs, 43 to 25. Wait, that's not right. Is that right? Jaren Duran only has 25 home runs?
Keep reading. I'll verify that one.
RBIs, 141 to 104. Okay. Now, Duran leads in all these other categories. Stolen bases, 56 to 55. Batting average, 294 to 269. On-base percentage. Are these numbers right?
Let me cut you off here.
Yeah.
Jaren Duran has 30 career homers. He has 25 homers in the last two seasons.
So this is the last two seasons.
Okay. And that might explain the graph, because Julio's best season was the year before last.
Fine. Last two seasons.
But this is the last two seasons.
It still holds up.
And J-Rod.
So Jaren Duran, better than Julio Rodriguez in the last two seasons. Stolen bases, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, and OPS plus. OPS and OPS plus WAR, those are the three. Congratulations, like, Jaren Duran. You've had two better years than Julio Rodriguez.
And we'll look at the OPS. Jaren Duran's last couple years, 852. Julio's last couple years, 762.
Yeah.
Like, so, it's not marginal.
So the point is, when I asked you, who would you have for the next 5 years, Jaren Duran and Julio Rodriguez?
That's a scary number, Rob.
Five is a scary number.
It's a scary number.
Five is the number. Like, put it up, put it on the board. Five is the scariest number. Everyone understand.
Count told us.
Five is the scariest number in standings and in projections and in life. But so for next 5 years, you're still taking Julio Rodriguez over Jaren Duran.
It's close, but I think I still have to take Julio.
Okay.
It's close, though, Rob.
It's your prerogative to be wrong.
It's close. Julio's 23. Those are prime seasons.
Would you sign? Here's the other part. We haven't had good contract talk in a while either, right?
I was actually thinking about this on the walk over.
We haven't had good Tristan Casas. What's the contract extension talk negotiations like? Talk. Hey, Tanner Houck, you got any contract talk going? We haven't had that talk in a while. And Jaren Duran, it's interesting. He doesn't come up a lot with this. But I will ask you, Gordo. You all right? You counting?
Yeah, I'm counting.
Just don't get to five. It's bad.
No, I stopped at four.
All right. Jaren Duran, would you sign him to a long-term contract extension?
Jaren is a really weird case, because I don't necessarily want to trade him, but I also don't think I want to extend him.
Okay.
At least right now.
You don't want to give him a contract extension.
So next year will be his age 28 season, and you've got 4 years left of him. This is a guy, like you think of guys like Jacoby Ellsbury, Carl Crawford, guys who made their careers on their legs, and they were elite players when they were young. And then what happened when they hit
I got to be honest with you, like the weird thing is, I love games played. I love the stat games played because I think it's such an undervalued stat. And I love the fact that he was trying to play 162 before his incident. But that is not conducive to long-term contract extensions.
Right. And if you extend him, anything else you add to his contract, it would be his age 32 season and beyond. So based off how – and, like, again, you say about the games played, you watch Jaren Duran play, and this guy goes 100% plus every single second of the game. He is on all the way, and that's awesome to see. But a guy who plays the game the way Jaren does, how many of those guys are good in, like, their age 35 season?
I'm just looking up Jacoby Ellsbury.
What age did he tail off?
Well, he tailed off when he went to the Yankees.
So what was that, like 31?
Yeah. So he signs a 7-year, $153 million deal. Remember that. When did he sign that?
His first year with the Yankees was his age 30 season.
Yeah, so he was a little bit younger. And that was the thing. Like, almost all free agents get to their – well, a vast majority of free agents get to their contract or their free agent year about 30. That's what happened to Ellsbury. And then, you know, but that's – that's what you get. I mean, Carl Crawford, I don't like everybody's different, but your point is well taken about Duran, is that this isn't, especially, and this is the other part of the equation, Gordo, not to think too far ahead, but this is, if you look at the Red Sox farm system, the strength of it potentially is actually the position Jaren Duran plays.
Right.
They don't have to worry about this for 4 years, 5 years, right? But the strength of it is Roman Anthony, Miguel Blaise, Braden Montgomery. Who am I missing?
Campbell plays outfield.
Willie Abreu, Christian Campbell.
Like, yeah, you've got
Don Rafaela
galore already in the system. It's hard because, like, people will think if you say, like, I'm not quite there with extending him, don't think they need to organizationally, and also a little bit nervous about what he'll be in his, like, age 32 and beyond season. Does that mean trade him? There's a rare circumstance here where I feel like you could ride out the contract with a guy and just be happy that.
But that doesn't take anything away from the player that he's the player he is. Because I do think, and we articulated through that stat, that graphic for the last 2 years with Julio Rodriguez, I don't know if people understand how good this guy has been. I mean, what is he, fourth in WAR, fourth or fifth in WAR overall?
I think fifth in all of baseball in WAR right now.
And so, this is, if people in baseball were ever going to talk about, who's the top five in WAR, they wouldn't be like, hey, you know, Jaren Duran's in there. They wouldn't. And by the way,
everyone's talking about intern, like Francisco Lindor's WAR.
Intern / part-timer Tom over here, right? I go to try to find a bottle of water, and he's like, you would take Bobby Witt Jr. over every player? Yeah, I would take Bobby Witt Jr. over every player. He's like, and I'm like, expect him to say Shohei, even Paul Skeens? I'm like, what? What's wrong with you? How did you ever get a job?
I'm a fan of Paul Skeens. You get an ace in your rotation for a few years, and you get the attraction of Livy Dunn in the ballpark, Bradfield. Come on.
See, he's seduced.
Well, now we're taking – I didn't know we were considering – no, I'm kidding.
You got to consider – days, 9 days. But Paul Skeens, and this is pitchers, this is – I don't wish ill on Paul Skeens, but the likelihood of Paul Skeens being healthy 3 years from now is not great.
You guys are arguing Bobby Witt Jr. versus Paul Skeens. Why not have Bobby Witt Jr. and Paul Skeens in Shohei Ohtani?
All on the Red Sox.
And yes, all on the Red Sox.
All right.
Get them all here.
Your prerogative to be wrong across the board. All right. So as we close things out here, as we get ready for the pregame show, it is not time for the Gordo prediction of the day, right? You play Tessie podcast. You like predicting things. Congratulations. Sometimes you're right. But today, it's very important. It's Fork in the Road Saturdays. Everybody out here, Fenway Park, we've had a great show. We appreciate everybody. We appreciate it. Jacob, producer Jacob. We appreciate intern slash part-time guy, soon to be full-time guy somewhere, although if he keeps having these terrible Paul Skeens take, I don't know, back there. But we appreciate everybody. We appreciate Rich Hill joining us. We appreciate all of it. And now what I'm going to appreciate is actually you telling me what's what and it's going to happen here on this beautiful, unbelievably beautiful day. What a day, right? What a day, everybody. What a day to, oh, look at this. Everybody smiling and waving. Everybody on three. Baseball isn't boring. Yay.
They're all standing on the street.
And basically, now I want you, Gordo, to do all these people a favor. Everybody who's listening, everybody who's coming into the park, everybody, tell us what's going to happen today.
Not only are they going to win this game today, they're going to win tomorrow and take this series. I said 2 out of 3 before the series. I'm not wavering from that. They're going to take 2 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks, and it's going to be big. It's going to be big for this run. They are going to make a run into September.
Is this their run? They need a run. They can't get...
Well, this is going to kick off the run against the easy
teams. I know they have easy teams coming up.
I'm saying this is going to kick that off.
So they're going to go on the run.
Yes, and it starts today.
When are you going to do a show next week? Come on, break off. You don't need to prepare for the wedding.
I'm going to be in the Cape next week.
Yeah, that's
I don't. This is actually the last time I'll be live.
My wife is so mad at me when I went to Camden Yards with my friends like the day after our wedding.
Really?
Oh yeah, so mad. I was supposed to mingle with the folks. I was supposed to like.
But Rob, baseball isn't boring today, and it wasn't boring back then either.
No, I'm just trying to teach you some lessons, all right? As you get married, as you get ready for, and we're so proud of you, of inviting me to the wedding. I really appreciate that. I'm gonna see you on a chair, raised up on a chair. I've never been to a wedding like that. So I appreciate. Can I be one of the ones who lift the chair?
Yeah, step right up.
Is that true? Like anyone can lift a chair?
I think they're just looking for like men who can lift. Just if you can lift.
I might have to tape up my wrists.
That's true, Rob. Are you in good enough shape after your
No, the answer is no. All right, but
you don't have there's a lot of people doing it. So you can like stand there and like pretend you're doing the heavy lifting, but actually like
yeah.
There's like 5 other people doing way heavier lifting.
Can you have the wedding photographer do a photo of me that looks like I'm doing some work?
What kind of work?
Like holding up the chair.
Oh yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, they'll be taking tons of pictures of the chair.
All right.
You just gotta get there. Pretend you're holding it, like just flex right, while you're holding.
Listen, we got a week to think about this stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. By the way, August 24th, 2011, Red Sox, 79-50. All right. That's good times, good vibes. Thank you, everybody. At BB Isn't Boring, Baseball Isn't Boring Show. See you next week.
Peace.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.